Werewolf and the Man Cub by Cloud Lake. Moltke is seen through Kane's eyes, written for the Jupiter Ascending Fic Challenge number 12, Through Another's Eyes. Characters: Kane Weiss, Moltke Bolotnikov, and Jupiter Jones. Additional tags: Adopted Family, Outside Perspective, Rescue. Kane's mind races as he saves Jupiter's family from the destabilizing Regenex factory. Every second makes him worry more for Her Majesty. He tries not to flinch as each crumbling and creaking section tears away from the main frame to the central tower. He sucks in a breath at each explosion and burst of fire as the metal from the structure makes contact with the gas giant's highly combustible atmosphere. Breathable air is quickly becoming a premium. Finally, Kane reaches the last family member, a young male with a Bolotnikov round face and dark hair. It strikes Kane just how innocent this unconscious boy appears. Such a contrast to Kane's own youth as a Legion contracted splice. As he flies with the young man in his arms, he pushes harder against the fermionic stream to surf even faster. The child's weight in comparison to the other members of his family is minimal, and Kane doesn't worry about tiring himself before he can return to find Her Majesty. A stray thought pops into the soldier's mind. On the off chance he'd wake, what would this boy think of a Lycantin hauling him to safety after what must have been a terrifying encounter? Would he be afraid of Kane at first like Her Majesty? For that matter, did he show fear in the face of his kidnappers? At the graph beam, Kane's shaking his head as he banishes the train of thought. This lad's memory will be wiped, so it's a moot point anyway. Despite that, he has to suppress a shudder as he thinks of what someone so young might have gone through had Kane not made it in time. Post-rescue. On his second date with Her Majesty, they talk more about her kin and what it feels like to have a family, since Kane's experiences are vastly different. He learns their names and who has what temperament. "What is it with you and all the questions about Moltke?" Jupiter queries. That gives him pause until the words coalesce. "Well, you talked about him and Aunt Nino with the most joy. He sounds curious and mischievous like I was." "Do you have a family? Any siblings or the like?" Jupiter switches gears. She's been talking about her own family the whole time. "Just a pack. I fought tooth and nail with them. And it's where the mischief comes into the picture. Then Stinger and Kiza took me in and were more like pack to me than my littermates ever were." "Well, that brings up another topic. My family would like to meet you. They've been bugging me left and right, nagging with, 'A respectable young man would come to meet us.'" "Oy vey."
"Do you think they'd accept an alien? One with pointy ears, fangs, and wings?" The doubt is etched on his face.
"Yes." She cups his cheek with her hand and sheepishly grins, hoping to make him feel at ease. "You'll fit in really well, actually, as long as you pay no attention to any dumb remarks about dogs." His eyes squint shut as he laughs and grimaces at the same time in reference to the first time she tried to tell him she liked him. Meet the family. After much debate, Jupiter and Kane opt to hide his canine features. A stocking cap and jacket to cover his ears and wings will have to suffice. The exuberant welcome by her family is almost too much. Not just because of the attention, which is a little overwhelming for a loner like himself, but also being grabbed by the face over the strategically placed stocking cap and kissed on both cheeks by Her Majesty's mother. It left him scrambling to put the hat back on over his almost exposed ears. The last introduction is to the youngest of the clan, and he's off by himself playing on his DS. Jupiter covers for Kane well when Moltke asks, "Is he bald, or does he have a bad haircut, or what?" She giggles and ruffles the lad's hair. "He just likes the hat, dear cousin." Kane steps up and offers his hand.
"You must be Moltke." Skeptically, the boy accepts and returns the handshake.
There's something odd about you. My cousin never brings guys home to meet us. Ever.
You're an observer, aren't you?
Kane measures the lad.
Moltke gives a minute shrug, signifying his Russian casualness.
Mom says it's antisocial.
A single eyebrow raises on Kane's otherwise passive visage.
I got told that too, kid.
Though, it's still a good skill.
Always be aware of your surroundings. You're not some commando or military freak, are you?
Moltke tries to process any and all meanings from that comment. It makes Kane quickly stifle a huffed laugh.
It used to be. So do you like space as much as your cousin and I?
Boy's face lights up.
She's been teaching me about what we can see in the telescope.
Then what do you think about that uncountable number of stars? Kane challenges.
You mean about aliens?
Moltke pshaws.
We just haven't found them yet.
What makes you think that?
It's all over in our culture. How could the idea of aliens be pervasive and any report of it dismissed?
Dad, when he was in the KGB, said anyone who reported proof of them disappeared. How could we be the only ones? The truth is out there.
Who knows? Kane shrugs. The young man is right, of course, but Kane just can't tell him yet. On the other hand, he can't resist asking.
What would you do if you met one?
Why?
Moltke's tone goes suspicious as he catches Jupiter's warning glance and tugs Kane away to join the rest of the family. With an understanding nod, Kane volleys.
Later.
If Moltke is as bright as he seems, he'll get the double meaning. Of all the people he met that night, Moltke is Kane's favorite. The ability to put two and two together to reach conclusions that most of the boys' race wouldn't consider or pay attention to? Well, Kane won't be able to hide what he is for long. The fun of meeting the lad is mixed with a worry in the pit of Kane's stomach. That intelligence would make others curious about him, too. Those who may not have the lad's best interest at heart. The next time Kane sees Moltke, he and His Majesty are sitting on the roof, sighting in the full moon with the brass telescope, when the youngest cousin climbs out the window and joins the couple. Kane has to claw his hat down over his ears and grimaces as he fights the urge to scratch. The darn thing, despite being cotton, itches like crazy.
I thought I saw...
Regarding the tall, bearded guy with suspicion, Moltke slowly reaches out a hand, as if to try to pet a vicious animal, and gently lifts the brim. Kane remains completely still, but watches him warily, waiting for the boy's reaction and hoping Jupiter will breathe soon. Otherwise, it won't be long till she passes out. With wide eyes darting to Jupiter, the lad lets the folded brim snap in place as his hand whips back in surprise. Directing his gaze now at Kane, the boy stumbles over his words.
Your ears are pointed, and you have fangs?
Bingo, kid.
Kane concedes the obvious.
Can I just take this thing off now?
Kane half growls and half pleads with Her Majesty.
It's hot and scratchy.
She nods approval and he pulls off the hat, then gives a small shake.
Why does Jupiter have to give you the okay? I know now. And I'm not running away screaming.
You're darn good, kid.
Kane directs the conversation. So what does that make me?
Not human, Moltke declares with conviction.
And? Kane prods.
Hesitation taints the answer.
An alien?
Kane winks. I just hope you can keep a secret, kid.
So what kind?
Now Moltke needs to know more. Jupiter explains as she directs everyone back over to the telescope now that it's sighted in.
A werewolf?
Moltke's expression turns to consternation as if he expected more. Rolling his eyes, Kane replies,
Lycantins are probably where the myths originated, though.
Now the lad's brain is quickly jumping from piece to piece in the logic stream.
So where are you from?
Doing a few mental calculations, Kane points directly behind them.
Besides a lab?
To a turn. though your planet's telescopes can't see it. Moltke's face falls a little and Jupiter tries to cheer him up.
I forgot snacks. I'll bring up your favorite, cuz.
Kane gestures to the telescope to allow the boy first dibs on the view. As he gazes at the bright sphere, his mind is still buzzing.
So are we totally behind in tech stuff?
A little.
Kane admires how quickly Moltke can process information and come to conclusions. Pulling out a sheet, he brings up a hologram of Tuatern, and it starts to talk. Agape, then,
cool,
from Moltke as he holds out his hand, wanting to see the thing more closely. Jupe and I use it to look up the places we see. Want to be the one to watch over it for us? Nodding vigorously, Moltke looks over the flat metallic item with the cylinder on the side. After having seen Kane run it once, he mimics the actions and finds Earth.
Third tertiary planet in the Sol system of the Centauri Quadrant, inhabited by harvestable population. Please install the update as the planet has changed hands.
Moltke's cool demeanor is replaced with alarm.
Harvestable? What does that mean? Us?
Deflating a bit, Kane sidesteps cryptically. Well, I know the owner, and she'll never let that happen. Before she came to own it, the people could have been sold off like animals and worse.
But that won't happen now.
The boy really needs this assurance. No, Moltke. She risked her life to save this planet and its people, and she's working to make it a historical marker and part of the Commonwealth of Planets to keep it safe forever. Jupiter returns, overhearing the last part, and freezes, looking for Kane's glance that all is well. She wasn't ready to divulge that secret.
Who is she?
Moltke persists. Jupiter, you're back! Changing subjects, Kane deflects. I think that's a story for another day. How about some of those cookies she made for us? With a glower, Moltke concedes.
I'll be bribed with a cookie this time, but next time it'll cost ya.
Impulsively, Kane ruffles his hair. You're quite the scamp, kid. Afterward, when Kane and Jupiter are alone, she can sense something's bothering him.
Talk to me.
He sighs because she knows him all too well, and he's not sure how she'll take this. Moltke? Well, he's a really bright kid, very adaptable, and kind of a loner, except when it comes to family. Taking his hands in hers, she coaxes.
Does he remind you of someone?
He struggles to put words to his thoughts as he nods. Looking away, he whispers,
me.
Jupiter wraps her arms around him and waits for him to continue. Now that Earth is on the map for possible Commonwealth membership, the Legion will be recruiting there. He'd be an ideal officer. They recruit young. Though as Queen of the Planet and a member of his family, you'd have a say.
Are you trying to tell me you think it would be a bad thing? I wouldn't like it, but I want to be sure I understand you.
I'm saying he should have a choice.
Because you didn't?
No. I'm a splice, remember? I was made for it. There's just other options for him. Especially if you recognize him as part of House of Brassex.
So you're watching out for him?
Kane pulls her closer and nuzzles into her shoulder. I guess I am.
You'd make a great adopted uncle, you know.
Screwing up his face, he considers. Do you think he'd mind, considering my past and that I'm a splice? Well, Vladi's not exactly the best role model as an older brother, and Moltke likes you. Why not see how it goes? He nods ever so slightly, and she kisses his cheek. Besides, it'll only endear you to my family more. Epilogue. Over the years, Kane does indeed watch over Moltke and gains favorite uncle status. And the Legion does come knocking on the Bolotnikov door. But a tip from Kane's eyes and ears in the service gives them a heads up when they're about to visit Earth. After a long talk about Kane's past, along with the pros and cons of the service, brilliant Moltke could indeed do a lot for the Commonwealth and the Legion. But he could without the Legion, too. Kane explains that the recruiters wouldn't tell him that. No matter what, Moltke, as relation to Her Majesty, will lose innocence and belief in the benevolence of mankind.
but Kane hopes it will be later rather than sooner. He encourages the young man to watch his cousin. She's a force to be reckoned with, and he will be too. Kane will be there to back both of them up. The end.